أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. First of all, congratulations for the occasion of the Eid, Eid al-Ghadir, which is one of the greatest Eids of those who have knowledge of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But not all Muslims have that knowledge, of course. So for those who have the knowledge about Imam Ali, this is a great Eid. Now, let's continue with the verses of Surah Al-Haqqa, verse number 18. So this is chapter 69, verse number 18. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةٌ. On that day you shall be exposed, not one secret of yours concealed. Now, if you remember, the previous verses explain what will happen when the earth and the mountains are taken and just destroyed by one blast, and then the day of judgment would happen, and what happens to the angels. So this was just a sort of prelude to mention what is now discussed in these verses, that after all these things will happen, then the world will change. The world will change in a way that whatever sort of rules or procedures we know in this plane of existence will change. So, for example, here we cannot see each other's mind, we cannot read each other's mind, heart, we cannot see, we are not transparent. But when that day comes, everything will become transparent. So if someone is ugly inside, will become ugly outside. If someone is beautiful inside, will become beautiful outside. It's a different type of world. Do not compare it with what we have here. And then we say, well, that is not possible, because the things which happen here are not followed there. So one of the things is that on that day, you shall be exposed. Exposed in one sense, whatever belief you have in heart, intentions, whatever you have done, which is now part of your identity. You know, our identity is now spread over time. My identity starts from, say, for example, when I was 6 years old until when I die, say, inshallah, 120 years later. Okay? That is my identity, okay? That is my identity. Now, this identity is spread over time. I cannot see it. I don't remember it. At every stage in my life, I have a different identity, for example. But when we die, all these come to a compact sort of identity. I can see myself, not spread out on time, but at one moment. That is the meaning of you are exposed. As I said, our deeds, our ideas, our beliefs and everything are exposed on that day. Not even one small hidden thing will be concealed from you. So not one secret of yours is concealed. Now, two things here. First of all, this meaning are mentioned in many different verses as well. يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, the day when all the secrets are exposed, are shown. Or يَوْمَ هُمْ بَعْرَزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ, the day when they are completely apparent, transparent. Everyone is transparent. Nothing will be concealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one question. Is anything concealed here in this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That these verses are saying that in that world, in that realm, nothing is concealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, of course not. The only difference is that there we can see that nothing is hidden from Allah, nothing is concealed. Here we cannot see. In this realm, things are actually completely confused for us. But when we go there, we will see that nothing is exposed from Allah. We will see that the only king, the only possessor in this world is Allah. And that's why we have Malik Yawm al-Din. He is the possessor of the Day of Judgment, or Malik Yawm, the king of the Day of Judgment. He is king now, he is possessor now, he is the owner now. But there it will be realized. We will appreciate it. We understand that this is the case. And the same thing here. On that day you are exposed, of course you are exposed in a way that you cannot see it in this world. One other possibility is that you are exposed to yourself, not to Allah. You are exposed to, you can see yourself in a very transparent way. You can see yourself in a way that you could not see it before. And this is mentioned, of course, in many other verses. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا. You did not know, you were ignorant of this, what you see this day. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. We have taken the veil from behind, before your eyes. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Now you can see. So the other possibility is that not on that day we realize that everything is exposed to God. We are exposed to ourselves. We can see ourselves. And then we are told, اقرأ كتابك. You read your own book. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You will judge yourself. I do not judge you. You will judge yourself, and you will actually convict yourself to wherever you have to go. So يوم هذن بارزون لا تخفى منهم خافية. Nothing will be, of course, hidden from them. And this includes our, as I said, our intentions, our actions, our beliefs, our attitudes, the extent of sincerity, everything. These two angels which are recording our deeds, these are not just like video recorders, which only shows two dimensions. No. Or even if it's 3D, three dimensions. No. It is recording in a way that myriads of dimensions of our acts are recorded. Our intentions, the level of sincerity, the background because of which we did that act, and all these things are recorded so that no one is unjustly convicted or rewarded. So everything will be just. فَأَمَّا. Now, when this happens, when you are exposed and nothing of you will be hidden, then the judgment will happen. Your books will be given. Of course, the procedure of judgment will happen because judgment will come afterwards. Your books of deeds will be given to you. What is the book of deed? The book of deed is, as I said, there are very complicated machines attached to us. That is the angels, the two angels which are writing the good and the evil. We mentioned before why there are two angels. Why one angel writes good things and one angel writes evil things. Do you remember why? Why we don't have one angel? Couldn't one angel do it all through? Why two angels should do that? Do you remember what we said? The reason is that evil and good in that recording cannot be mixed. Evil should go to one place and good should go to another place. Because there is separation between evil and good. Here, there is no separation. We do all these things mixed. But when they are recorded, the good should go to one place, the bad should go to another place. And therefore, these two angels themselves are machines of capturing our deeds. Actually, this is blessing of God. Imagine if it was only good that we did. It's blessing, it's all kept for us. Now, about things that we do as evil, of course, Allah is very lenient. He, for example, says to the angel which records the evil, do not write it. Maybe he repents. Maybe she, for example, regrets. And if she regrets or he repents, you don't put it down. Or many of things is wiped out after repentance. I say we have several occasions during the year that everything which this poor angel, the evil one, or the recorder of the evil, not evil, no angel is evil. The recorder of the evil, the poor angel tries to write everything meticulously throughout the year, then it comes Laylatul Qadr, everything is wiped. You see? What am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Or for example, the person goes to Hajj on the day of Arafah, everything is forgiven. Oh, ya Allah, I did all these things and you just wiped it off. What, for example? So Allah is very lenient in this. Of course, very meticulous to write every good deed to reward it. But when it comes to bad deeds, Allah will show His mercy, His leniency. But anyhow, these books are collected. Now, the deeds go to these books that which are written. We say book, of course, don't think that it's book like something written. It's the angels. These are the angels. The angels which have captured them for us. And these angels would either go to Aliyin or go to Sajjin. Now, our book of deed is either in Aliyin or is in Sajjin. Now, Aliyin is something which is, we don't know what is the meaning, the direction in that word. Aliyin is something which is on the right. This issue of direction in the next world is very, very complicated and very difficult, actually. What is right? What is left? What is south? What is north? Very complicated. This Swedenborg, Emanuel Swedenborg, who has written a book about the other world, and he says that I've experienced it. He says that it's very, very complicated to figure out, to depict directions in the world of Barzakh. It's very difficult even for the living beings to understand the directions that the dead understand. Now, it's very difficult to understand what's light and right and what's left. But the books which are in Aliyin, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي أَلِّيِّن, the book of the righteous are in Aliyin, the high position stations, okay? They come from right, whatever it means. And it's as if it is given to your right hand. The book of the Ashrar, the book of the Mukazzibun, are in Sajjin. The Kitab, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي سَجِّين, the book of the Fujjar will be placed in Sajjin. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَجِّين, how can I explain for you what is Sajjin? كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, it is a written book. So the whole evil things go there, the whole good things go one way, and that Aliyin is كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي أَلِيِّن وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا أَلِيُّن كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, is a written book, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, it is in the presence of those who are close to God. So you do good thing, it goes to a place where the مُقَرَّبُونَ are present, those who are close to God are present. You do evil thing, they go to a place where, of course, it's the lowest place of all creation, the most evil place of the creation. Now, when we go to the Day of Judgment, our books are actually already there, and they are weighed. It depends from which direction these books come, from Aliyin or from Sajjin. If it comes from Aliyin, well done, that's very good. فَأَمَّا, this is what the verse says. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَا, anyone whose book is given to his right hand. Now, about this right hand, there are different explanations in the words of Mufassirun. Some Mufassirun say that Yameen means prosperity, and it does. Yameen means right hand, and Yameen means prosperity as well, means success, means being good. So مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ means someone who's given his book from a good side, from the good side of the life, from a positive, in a positive way, then of course that will be successful. The one whose book is given to his left hand, بِشَمَالِهِ, and left hand شَمَال and مَشْأَمَا and all this means misery. So if the person is miserable, if the person desires misery, That is the meaning of the book coming from the left hand. This is one meaning. The other meaning, as I mentioned, because books come from different places, from Elin or from Sejin. And these are the directions of flying, or what they call it, tatayur al-kutub. The books fly and go and attach to the person who has committed it, who has actually, who is the owner of that book. And then it becomes part of us. Now, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْثِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. After you are exposed and everything is transparent of you, if you are given your book from the right hand, right side, from the right side, from Eli, فَيَقُولُ هَاُمْ اِقْرَأُ كِتَابِ. هَاُمْ means take. هَاُمْ is plural. هَا E, ha, ha'a, ha'uma, ha'um. Ha'um means come, take it, plural. Apparently this is an address either to the angels or to human beings. Come and see me. That's my book is myself, isn't it? My book is myself. The person becomes so excited seeing the book of his acts. It is so clean, so shiny, so brilliant, that wants everyone to see it. Every human, every angel, he wants them to see this book. Why? Because the book which is in Elin does not contain any evil anymore. Allah has wiped it off completely. Now it comes, looks at the book, is this me? No, this is not me. I committed so many sins, so it's not here. It's a very good person, I'm not this person, you see? Becomes so excited. Seeing that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing the way Allah has treated him, seeing the way Allah has concealed for him many things that he even himself recognizes himself. After being exposed, he does not recognize. So he says, come, come, look at this beautiful gentleman or beautiful lady. Who is she? Who is he? And it's me, this is me. So فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَاُمْ اِقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَ. Then people may ask him, what happened? Why are you so shining, so brilliant, so pure, so beautiful? Why? The answer is, or he may say initially, why this is like this, but apparently this is answer to a question from either angels or human beings coming there. You can imagine how exciting that moment of receiving your book is when the book comes from Elin. How exciting that is. It is so beautiful that you cannot recognize, as I said, you cannot recognize yourself anymore. Allah has treated you well in that sense. So, why? Why are you so bright? Why are you so pure? أني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي. I knew that I shall encounter my account. Than has two meanings. One meaning of than is surmise, conjecture, guess. The other meaning of than is yaqeen, certainty. So dhanantu means I was certain that I'm going to meet my account. And therefore, because I was certain about the Day of Judgment, I behaved myself. I behaved in a way that would not harm me when I come here on the Day of Judgment. There is one hadith from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. I would like to read that for you. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Al-dhannu dhannan." We have two types of dhan. As I said, dhan, usually we say dhan as a speculation. Okay, but Amir al-Mu'min says there are two types of dhan. Dhannu shakkin wa dhannu yaqeenin. One type of dhan means shak, doubt, speculation. The other type of dhan is yaqeen, certainty. فَمَا كَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْمَعَاد مِنَ الظَّن فَهُوَ dhannu yaqeenin. Whatever is used in the Quran, whatever dhan is used in the Quran, about having dhan or this type of feeling about Day of Judgment, it is yaqeen, certainty. So, أَنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَلَا يَظُنُّونَ أنهم مبعوثون, do they not have certainty that they will be resurrected? So ظن يقين ما كان من أمر الدنيا فهو ظن شك. If it's used about dunya, it's ظن شك. Doubt. If it's used about آخرة, it's ظن of certainty. So here he says, إني ظننت أني ملاق نصاب. I was sure that I will meet my accounts. Now, someone who's sure that they will meet their account, of course they behave themselves. They try to act in a way that it's not going to harm them. If we are somehow hesitant, or we are not firm in our action, in our conviction about God, about doing good things, it means that we are not very sure about the day of judgment. We are not certain about it. If we are certain, then we behave ourselves. Now, this man or this woman, anyone who is, says that I was certain that I'm going to meet this judgment day or meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I was certain, I acted in a way which was proper, and therefore I have been given this book. Now, what is the use of this book given to you? What is the use of it? Of course, your book of act is given back to you. That is, your personality is given back to you. What you were and you were ignorant of it, it was recorded for you over time. It was put in one sort of box, so to speak, and now it is attached to you. Identify yourself with it. It is now you. You, not a spread on time, you, which is the conclusion, the outcome of all these days and years who you lived. Now, if this book is given, comes from Aline, is given to your right hand or coming from the right, what happens? فَهُوَ فِي إِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He will be in a pleasant life. Ish means life, of course. The way we live, ish. Razi, of course, is file. Ish cannot be razi. Life cannot be happy. I mean, person who has a happy life is happy, so to speak. So why say ishatan razia? It means that the person who lives this life is so happy, so satisfied, so pleased with this life, that it could be attributed to the life itself. This life is such that the person enjoys. However, the person himself is so much satisfied, pleased with the life that he has. So, فَهُوَ فِي إِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Where does he live? When this book comes, where does he live? فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. In an elevated garden. Now, Jannah garden, of course, Jannah is paradise. Literally, it means garden. But that is not like the garden of this world. Certainly, we know it. And the way the Quran explains shows that it's not like the gardens of this world. It's a very, very different sort of thing, different life. I will mention a couple of these differences now, and you become amazed, and you may say, wow, poof, this is not true. It cannot happen. But imagine that we are talking about a different plane of existence. We are not talking about this plane of existence. So, this is an elevated. Now, elevated may mean physically elevated. That means they are living in so mansions so high in these gardens that it's called Jannat and Aliyah. Or spiritually elevated, a garden which no impure heart can ever imagine the way of life there. Jannat and Aliyah, very, very elevated. Qutufuha daniya. Qutuf is the plural of qatf. Qatf means picking fruit. That is the meaning of qatf. Now, qutufuha, picking of its fruits, are quite at reach. Easy. You don't need to do anything. Now, fruits in paradise have two meanings. Both meanings are correct. You don't say either this or that. Both of them. One is physical. So just fruits, just like fruits in this world, of course, with a completely different quality.
The other is the fruits that Allah gives you in your heart that pleases you is more delicious than the fruits that you eat. And it is at your reach as well, easy reach. You can have it as you wish. There is one very interesting thing from Bushayr. I will mention that later when I explain the following verse, which alludes to this spiritual aspect of the fruits of paradise, because they are fruits of our actions. Actually, these are fruits of our life that we are seeing it there. So they are very close. You can utufu hadaniya. You can just eat it the way, pick it the way where you are. You are reclining, lying down, sitting. You don't need to go to the tree. The tree comes to you. You can say the tree comes. It's very close. You sit anywhere, of some grapes, some pears, and it comes to you. It's very close. And this aspect is mentioned. Mentioning this aspect indicates more about that the spiritual fruits of paradise, which come to us, whichever way we want it. And we have one hadith, Bara ibn Azib, the companion of the Prophet. He reports from the Prophet that يَتَنَاوَلُ الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَةِ وَهُوَ نَائِمٌ. A person can eat the fruits while he is sleeping. Wow, we never have experience, isn't it? Eating something while we are sleeping. It would have been very good in this life, isn't it? We would have enjoyed it to eat while we are sleeping. But one aspect of paradise is that you enjoy everything in everything. You see, here you enjoy the taste of food when you eat them. You enjoy the taste of fruits, the taste of juice when you drink it. You enjoy, for example, good weather when you are exposed to good weather. You enjoy, for example, being with your wife or husband when you are with them. In paradise, they say, whatever you do, you eat, you're exposed to weather. All these enjoyments are always together. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. It's a different plane of existence. All enjoyments are combined together. In that world, you do not lose any enjoyment at any moment. أُكُلُهَا دَائِمٌ وَذِلُّهَا. Eating is continuous. The shade is continuous. Now, eating is continuous. Of course, you don't eat all the time. However, you always feel that pleasure of eating all the time. The main purpose is to feel the pleasure, isn't it? You feel that pleasure all the time. It is with you. So this is one meaning of utufu hadaniya. Picking the fruit are very close. And then Allah says, kulu, sorry, the man eat while they are sleeping. They have the enjoyment of feeling that a person would have pleasure of sleep, good sleep, and the pleasure of eating together. You can have them together. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Eat and drink. This is Allah tell them, or they will be told, or angels tell them, or this is actually what is happening to them. Enjoy your food and drink for what you had sent in advance in past days. كُلُوا. Verse number 24. Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyam al khaliyah. Now, ayyam al khaliyah, first of all, it says aslaftum fil ayyam al khaliyah. Anyone knows what is bay'u salaf? Anyone has heard about bay'u salaf? Actually, buying something when it's not yet ready. And you pay for it, and when it is made or when it is produced, then they give it to you. This is called bay'u salaf. I give money, for example, I go to a farm, the crops are not there yet, okay?
the farmer says, okay, you want to buy this now, I sell it to you cheaper if you buy it now. He says, okay, I buy all your crops. Okay, how much? He gives the money and he waits for the harvest to come to fruition and then receive the product. This is called Bay'u Salaf. Now, aslaftum means actually, this is one very interesting thing that the Exodus have mentioned about it, means you have actually bought this before for yourself. You gave the price. You gave the price before. What was the price for this to be good? That's it. You see, of course, it's free. It's free. But the price for it is to be good. If you are good, I accept. I have taken the price from you, and this is now the product. It is ready now. So aslaftum means you actually bought this before for yourself. Now, eat, drink, enjoy. What is ayyam al-khaliya kulu washrabu hani'am bima aslaftum fil ayyam al-khaliya? Khali, one meaning of khali is madi, past. Ayyam al-khaliya means past days. And we have it in Quran in many places. Tilka ummatun qad khalat means qad madat. This is an ummah which has passed already. Or, for example, we have قَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, that many generations have passed before me. So خَلَتْ خَالِ has been used in the Quran in this sense. This is one meaning of خَالِ. So بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَ means in past days, the days which has passed by, you actually sent forward the price for this garden, for whatever you have now, and now eat and enjoy. It belongs to you. This is yours now. You have bought it already. The other meaning of khali, which is, of course, not very probable, but some of the exegetes have mentioned this in a very beautiful way. Khali means empty. One meaning of khali means empty. And they say, now eat and drink for the days where your stomach was empty. Means you were fasting. So you were fasting, your stomach was empty. You actually had patience. You control yourself. Now you can eat and drink. There is no fast anymore. There's no fast. Alhamdulillah, there's no fast in paradise. You see, when Eid al-Qadir comes in paradise, you don't need to fast. You just enjoy eating and drinking. The hadith here, there is one hadith which is very beautiful. It says that يقول الله تعالى يا أوليائي, oh my friends. Actually, in paradise, Allah calls all of us friends. And of course, there's no comparison between us and God to be friends with each other. I mean, you may just imagine He's your creator. He has all the power. He gives you everything. Then He calls you friend. Okay? Ya awliya, oh my friends. Talama nadartu ilaykum fi dunya. I used to watch you in the world when you were living in the world. Waqad qalasat shifahukum. Your lips stuck together because of thirst. قَلَسَتْ شِفَاهُكُمْ عَنْ الْأَشْوَىٰ وَغَارَتْ أَعْيُنُكُمْ. Your eyes went deep into its socket. وَحَمَسَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ. And your stomachs were hungry. فَكُونُ الْيَوْمْ فِي نَعِيمِكُمْ. Now you enjoy. This is the price of that. If we say this is about fasting and empty stomachs, as I said, it is very improbable, because this brings this very general verse to somehow focus on one particular act. So that is not the right meaning of the verse which some of the exegetes, like Qatada, the early exegetes have mentioned. The meaning is that this is because of what you sent for of your good deeds in the past days which you were in dunya, bima qaddamtum fil ayyam al khaliya. Now, this physical thing, if we think about it physically, it is good. As I said, it's a different thing from this world, but there are always spiritual things in physical enjoyments in paradise. As I said, everything is in everything in paradise. You eat, you have the pleasure of food,
And you have a spiritual pleasure too. Everything is in everything. And the Qushayri, the mystic exegete of the 5th century, says in his tafsir, Al-Lataif, يُقَالُ لَهَوْلَا, it is told to them, to these people, this is the meaning of كُلُّ وَشْرَبُ, اسْمَعُوا وَشْهَدُوا. Now, you listen, you witness the beauty of the Lord. وَنْظُرُوا إِلَيْنَا, look at me, I allow you to look at me, with your hearts, of course. وَاسْتَأْنِسُوا بِقُرْبَنَا, now you find intimacy in our closeness. وَاتَّالِعُوا جَمَالَنَا وَجَلَالَنَا, and look at our beauty. فَأَنْتُمْ بِنَا وَلَنَا, you are, actually live by me and for me. Now, this is, of course, a very deep mystical concept. I don't want to enter that. Anyhow, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. And honey means pleasurable, isn't it? Eat and drink with enjoyment, pleasure, with pleasure, hani'an. Now, they say that hani has, of course, many meanings, but some of these meanings are that when you eat, you don't have the trouble that you have afterwards in this world. When we eat, then we have, of course, to discharge the surplus of it, isn't it? But in paradise, there is no such a thing. Of course, you cannot fill the paradise with these things. So, in paradise, there are extras of this food that we eat. We have physical existence, but it comes out as a very fragrant sweat from our body, which actually scents the body. And the more we eat, the more fragrant we will become, because the more sweat would come out. So, we have in one hadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him, إِنَّهُ جَاءَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, a man from Ahlul Kitab, whether a Jew or a Christian, came to him and said, يَا أَبَا الْقَاسِمْ تَزْأَمُ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ, you think and you preach that people in paradise eat and drink. فَقَالَ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, he said, yes, of course, by the one in whose hand is my life. أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْهُمْ لَيُؤْتَى قُوَّةَ مِعَةِ رَجُلٍ فِي الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجُمَعِ, one person is given the power of 100 persons in paradise, eating, drinking, and copulating, and whatever enjoyment is there. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الَّذِي يَأْكُلْ وَيَشْرَبْ يَكُونُ لَهُ الْحَاجَةِ, he says, okay, if they eat and drink, don't they want to somehow go to toilet? There isn't this the call of nature for them? He said, no, there isn't. أَرَقٌ يُفِيضُ مِثْلَ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ, there is a sweat which comes out like the musk, like having the fragrance of musk. So you can imagine this world is a different world. Everything in that world is nice, is fragrant, is pleasurable, is beautiful, and you enjoy every moment of it. And some people say, don't we get bored there because we don't have any, for example, ambition, any aim there? Now, the point is, we don't know what is the meaning of aim, what is the meaning of purpose in this life. We think purpose is, for example, to have more money or to have more education or to have certain things that is just play and sport. The real meaning of purpose we will find when we go to paradise. We will find what is the meaning of life, why we are living, why Allah has created us. We will find all these things. So this is for those whose books are given to their right hands. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشَمَالِهِ, what about the one whose book is given to his left hand? وَاوِلَا, we'll discuss this inshallah next week. وَسَلَّى اللَّهَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ. اللهم صلِّ على محمد وعلى محمد. لطيف خبير بصير جالي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم.
محمد يا مسلمي صلوا عليه صلوا على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمني صلوا عليه. Yeah,